I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursdays. What is it? November 1st, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. And yesterday, I mentioned to you that I had an unbelievable story for you today. And I do. But only if I finish this article that I'm going to read first, which is going to explain to all of us why our job at waking people up is so difficult. This unbelievable story, I will tell you, if I finish this article today, and what that means is that if you call me, which you're welcome to do, but if you call me, I may not get through this whole article, and I won't be able to tell you the unbelievable story, and I'll have to titillate you and put it off until possibly next week because I have Jim Kerwin coming on tomorrow. So with that, I'm going to read an article by a fellow named Tim O'Shea, and it's going to go into elaborate detail on why these dumbed-down, mind-numbed, propagandized, and hypnotized Americans will believe almost anything. And I want to remind everybody, this article is posted on my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, with a couple of other interesting clips that I posted up there today. Two of them, actually, I'd like you to look at. I had a guest on my show yesterday, Lee Rogers. I've got a clip posted of his call-in to the Rush Limbaugh show. You don't want to miss that one. So go into www.theamericanawakening.org, click on interesting links, go over to the right, and you'll see it's about the second or third one down on the right. Also, I posted a clip. I'd like you to take a look at this clip to see who it is that's supposed to be our leader in this country in an interview that he was having. And I want you to take a good look in this man's eyes. I'd like to get some input from you guys at some point as to whether you think George Bush is either on drugs or he's just outright crazy. I looked in his eyes when I watched that clip, and I'm telling you, folks, it's scary. So please do go into www.theamericanawakening.org. Interesting links. Watch the Bush clip and also the Lee Rogers clip. And also I'll mention once again this article that I'm going to go into in elaborate detail today before, and if I have enough time, tell you about this unbelievable story. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety because it's very, very enlightening. Also coming up tomorrow, as you know, if you go into my website and go in and click on guests, you'll see I've got Jim Kerwin coming up tomorrow. Next week, of course, I'll have Jim up, I believe, Thursday. Friday, I've got Don Wiskin coming up. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I haven't scheduled yet. I'm looking at a few people, but I'm really not sure. It should be posted sometime over the weekend as to who I'm going to have up as a guest, but you can go into my website over the weekend and see what's coming up. In the meantime, real quick, I want to tell you, I'm excited, though, folks, because I have determined that this H.R. 1955, of which you guys have been walking and calling the senators, H.R. 1959 going into the Senate right now on this violent radicalization, pointing a finger at the truth movement, they're doing this because they're scared to death. You can see it in their eyes, which means that we're winning, folks. That's the good news. I'll be back in three with this article. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back. Got a good show for you today.
Mm-hmm. The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to get into an article today called Why Americans Will Believe Almost Anything by Tim O'Shea, and he puts it together very, very well. For the benefit of the new listeners, you'll know why the American public is so dumbed down. For the veteran listeners out there, it's time to get an education, if you don't have already, is exactly why they are dumbed down. So I'm going to get started with this. Aldous Huxley's inspired 1954 essay detailed the vivid, mind-expanding, multi-sensory insights of his mescaline adventures. By altering his brain chemistry with natural psychotropics, Huxley tapped into a rich and fluid world of shimmering, indescribable beauty and power. With his neurosensory input thus triggered, Huxley was able to enter that parallel universe described by every mystic and space captain in recorded history. Whether by hallucination or epiphany, Huxley sought to remove all bonds, all controls, all filters, all cultural conditioning from his perceptions and to confront nature or the world or reality firsthand in its unpasteurized, unedited, unretouched, infinite rawness. Those bonds are much harder to break today, half a century later. We are the most conditioned, programmed beings the world has ever known. Not only are our thoughts and attitudes continually being shaped and molded, our very awareness of the whole design seems like it is being subtly and inexorably erased. The doors of our perception are carefully and precisely regulated. You say, who cares, right? It is an exhausting and endless task to keep explaining to people how most issues of conventional wisdom are scientifically implanted in the public consciousness by 1,000 media clips per day.
In an effort to save time, I would like to provide just a little background on the handling of information in this country. Once the basic principles are illustrated about how our current system of media control arose historically, the reader might be more apt to question any given story in today's news. If everybody believes something, it's probably wrong. We call that conventional wisdom. In America, conventional wisdom that has mass acceptance is usually contrived. Somebody paid for it. Examples? Here are some examples, folks, of conventional wisdom. Pharmaceuticals restore health. Vaccinations bring in immunity. The cure for cancer is just around the corner. When a child is sick, he needs immediate antibiotics. When a child has a fever, he needs Tylenol. Hospitals are safe and clean. America has the best health care in the world. Americans have the best health in the world. Milk is a good source of calcium. You never outgrow your need for milk. Vitamin C is ascorbic acid. Aspirin prevents heart attacks. Heart drugs improve the heart. Back and neck pain are the only reasons for spinal adjustment. No child can get into school without being vaccinated. The FDA thoroughly tests all drugs before they go on the market. Pregnancy is a serious medical condition. Infancy is a serious medical condition. Chemotherapy and radiation are effective cures for cancer. When your child is diagnosed with an ear infection, antibiotics should be given immediately, just in case. Ear tubes are good for the health of a child. Estrogen drugs prevent osteoporosis after menopause. Pediatricians are the most highly trained of all medical specialists. The purpose of the healthcare industry is healing. HIV is the cause of AIDS. And it goes on and on and on and on and on here. Okay, but what they're doing, this is a list of illusions, folks, that have cost billions and billions of dollars to conjure up. Did you ever wonder why most people in this country generally accept most of the above statements? Well, I'll tell you why. It's called programming the viewer. Even the most undiscriminating viewer may suspect that TV news readers and news articles are not telling us the whole story. The slightly more lucid may have begun to glimpse the calculated intent of standard news content and are wondering about the reliability and accuracy of the way events are presented. For the very few who take time to research beneath the surface of the daily programming and who are still capable of independent thought, a somewhat darker picture begins to emerge. These may perceive bits of evidence of the profoundly technical science behind much of what is served up in mass media. Events taking place in today's world are enormously complex. An impossibly convoluted tangle of interrelated and unrelated occurrences happens simultaneously, often in dynamic conflict. To even acknowledge this complexity contradicts a fundamental axiom of media science, which is keep it simple. In real life, events don't take place in black and white, but in a thousand shades of gray. Just discovering the actual facts and events as they transpire is difficult enough. The river is different each time we step into it. By the time a reasonable understanding of an event has been apprehended, new events have already made that interpretation obsolete. And this is not even adding historical, social, or political elements into the mix, which are necessary for interpretation of events. Popular media gives up long before this level of analysis. Media stories cover only the tiniest fraction of actual events, but stupidly claim to be summarizing all the news. The final goal of media is to create the following of docile, unquestioning consumers. And to that end, three primary tools have historically been employed. Those three tools are deceit, dissimulation, and distraction. Over time, the sophistication of these tools of propaganda has evolved to a very structured science, taking its cues in an unbroken line from principles laid down by the father of spin himself, Edward L. Bernays, over a century ago, as you're going to see. Now, we're going to look at each tool very briefly, folks. The first one is deceit. Deliberate misinterpretation of fact has always been the privilege of the directors of mass media. Their agents, the public relations industry, cannot afford random objective journalism interpreting events as they actually take place. This would be much too confusing for the average consumer who has been spoon-fed his opinions since the day he was born. No, we can't have that. In all the confusion, the viewer might get the idea that he is supposed to make up his own mind about the significance of some event or other. The end product of good media is single-mindedness. Confusion and individual interpretation of events do not foster the homogenized one-dimensional lemming outlook. It's for this reason, events must have a spin put on them, an interpretation, a frame of reference, if you will. Subtleties are omitted. All that is presented is the bottom line. The minute that decision is made, what spin to put on the story, we have left the world of reporting and entered the world of propaganda. By definition, propaganda replaces faithful reporting with deceitful reporting. Now, here's an obvious example. The absurd and unremitting allegations of Saddam's weapon of mass destruction as a rationale for the invasion of Iraq. Of course, none were ever found, but that is irrelevant. We weren't really looking for any weapons, but the deceit served its purpose. It got us in there. Later, the ruse can be abandoned and forgotten. Its usefulness is over, and nobody will notice. Characterization of Saddam as a murderous tyrant was decided to be an insufficient excuse for invading a sovereign nation. After all, there are literally dozens of murderous tyrants the world over going their merry ways. We can't be expected to police all of them. So it was decided that the murderous tyrant thing, though good, was not enough. To whip a sleeping people into war consciousness has historically involved one additional prerequisite, boy, I can't even talk today, and that is a threat. Saddam must therefore be not only a baby-killing maniac, he must be a threat to the rest of the world, especially America. And why is that? Because he has weapons of mass destruction. For almost 2 years, this myth was assiduously programmed into the lowest common denominator of awareness which Americans substitute for consciousness. Even though the myth has now been openly dismissed by the regime itself, the majority of us, and when I say us, folks, I'm talking about the mind-numbed American public, they still believe it. Hitler used the exact same tack with the Czechs and the Poles at the beginning of his rampage. These peaceful people were not portrayed as an easy mark for the German war machine. Oh, no. They were a threat to the fatherland itself, just like Albania in the Dustin Hoffman movie, and I believe that was Wag the Dog. And threats must be removed by all available force. With Iraq, the fact that UN inspectors never came up with any of these dread weapons before Saddam was captured, this fact was never mentioned again. That one phrase, WMD, 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 repeated ad nauseum, month after month, had served its purpose. Whip the people into a war mode. It didn't have to be true, it just had to work. A staggering indicator of how low the general awareness had sunk is that the mantra continued to be used as our license to invade Iraq long after our initial assault. Now, if Saddam had any such weapons, probably a good time to trot them out would be when a foreign country is moving in, wouldn't you say? No weapons were ever found, nor will they be. So confident was the PR machine in the general inattention to detail commonly exhibited by the comatose American people that they didn't even find it necessary to plant a few weapons in order to justify the invasion. It was almost insulting. So we see that a little deceit goes a long way. All it takes is repetition. Lay the groundwork and the people will buy anything. After that, just ride it out until they seem doubtful again, then on to the next deceit. The next one is dissimulation. A second tool that is commonly used to create mass intellectual torpor is dissimulation. Dissimulation simply means to pretend not to be something you are. Like some insects who can disguise themselves as leaves or twigs, they pretend not to be insects. Or bureaucrats who pretend not to be acting in their own interest, but rather than the public interest, to pretend not to be what you are. Whether it's the Bush League in Iraq or Hitler in Germany, aggressors do not present themselves as marauding invaders initiating hostilities, but instead as defenders against external threats. Freedom-annihilating edicts like the Homeland Security Act and the Patriot Act, currently the law of the land, do not represent themselves as a negation of every principle of the father, that the Founding Fathers laid down, or as shaky pretext for the takers to further loot the country, but rather as public services, benevolent and necessary new rules to ensure our security against various imagined enemies, to pretend to be what you are not, dissimulation. Other obvious examples of dissimulation we see today include pretending like the world's oil will not be gone in 35 years. I don't agree with that, but we'll take a break here and we'll continue with this when I get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Got a lot more to cover, not a lot of time to do it, so stick with me and don't call me right now. Maybe you can call me later. Be back in three.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour here. I'm reading an article called Why Americans Will Believe Almost Anything, and I'm on the subject of dissimulation. I'm going to continue with this. Other examples of dissimulation: pretending like more and more government will not further stifle an already struggling economy. Pretending like programs favoring minorities are not just another form of racism. Pretending like drug laws are necessary for national security. Pretending like passing more and more laws every year is not geared ultimately for the advancement of law enforcement, security, and the prison industry. Pretending there's a bioterrorist threat in the United States today. Pretending there is a terrorist threat in the United States today. Pretending the Bush regime has not benefited from every program that came out of 9/11. To pretend to be what you are not. That's called dissimulation. And the third one is distraction. And this is a good one, folks, because this is what's happening a lot. A third tool necessary to media in order to keep the public from thinking too much is distraction. Bread and circuses work for Caesar in old Rome. The people need to be kept quiet while a small group in power carry out its agenda, which always involves fortifying its own position. All actions of the present Reich since 9/11 may be explained by plugging in one or more of four beneficiaries: oil, pharmaceuticals, war gear, or security systems. Every act, every political event, every public statement of the present administration has promoted one or more of these huge sectors. More oil, more drugs, more weapons, more security. But the people mustn't be allowed to notice things like that, so they must be smokescreened by other stuff, blatant, obvious stuff, which is really easy to understand and which they think has a greater bearing on their day-to-day life. A classic axiom of propaganda is that people shouldn't be allowed to think too much about what the government is doing in their name. After all, there's more to life than politics, right? So while the power group has its cozy little war going on, the people need to be have their attention diverted. All the strong men of history would have given their eye teeth to have at their disposal the number and types of distractions available to today's regimes. TV, sports, its orchestrated frenzy and spectacle, Super Sunday, an endless succession of unspeakably boring, inane movies, short on plot. The wanton, sexless flash of MTV with its uninspired lack of talent, a study in split-second phony images, colossal dull TV programs which serve the secondary purpose of instilling proper robot attitudes in people who have little other instruction in life's values. The artistic Mojave of modern music with its soulless cyber droning, a constant quest for the nadir of reptilian brain stimulation devoid of lyrical competence, instrumental proficiency or passion. The ever-retreating promise of financial success, which now to the trappings and toys that suggests success available to anyone with a credit card. And for those of you who don't know much about that, I'd suggest you tune in to John Stadtmiller's show, Cash Flow, that comes on just before mine. He'll tell you. Organized superstitions of all varieties with their requisite pseudo-spiritual trappings. The constant dramatization of crimes and issues throughout the world whose collective goal is the humble and grateful acknowledgement of how good we've really got it. Dwelling for months on a minutia of unsupported allegations of impropriety, preferably sexual, of a celebrity personality. With these noisy, banal distractions, the forces promoting the general decline in intelligence and awareness jubilantly engulf us all on all sides. Media science holds the advantage as people get dumber and dumber year by year, and it gets easier and easier to keep them dumb. The only challenge is that their threshold keeps getting lower. So in order to keep their attention, messages have to become more obvious and blatant, taking nothing for granted. Now, here are some indicators of our declining intelligence. Flagrant errors of grammar and spelling rampant in advertising which go unnoticed. Declining SAT scores and the arbitrary resetting of the normals, which has occurred at least twice in the last 8 years in order to cover up how dumb our kids are really getting. Increased volume and decreased speed of the voices of news readers on radio and TV. The limited vocabulary and cliched speech allowed in radio programs. The obvious lack of education and requisite pedestrian mentality required of the corporate simians who are featured on radio. And by the way, I'm not speaking of our programming, folks. I'm speaking of mainstream. Increasing illiteracy of high school graduates, both written and spoken. The unwritten policy requiring school teachers, especially math and English teachers, to pass students who have failing marks, especially if they're a certain race or other, so that the school won't look bad. Decreasing requirements for master's theses and PhD dissertations in both length and content. Increasing oversimplification of movie and TV plot lines. Absence of subtlety in conceptual and dramatic content. Blatant moralizing of compliant robot values. The speed at which images on TV are flashed, giving the viewer barely enough time to recognize which sledgehammer idea they were referring to before the next one appears about 2 seconds later. And you can see this on my website, Why I Don't Watch TV. It's a prime example, folks. That way there is no possible way the brain can follow a train of thought in any kind of depth. From childhood, the brain learns that it is not to be tasked with understanding abstractions or concepts of any subtlety from the information presented. All the brain has to do is react to the incessant bombardment of fragmented ADD-generating visual stimuli without trying to derive sense or logic from it. This is why TV should be watched only with the sound off, since it has generally the same educational value as a lava lamp. The enormous proportion of time spent by TV channels telling the viewer that what will be shown in the future, leaving no time for actual delivering what they have already endlessly promised in the recent past, which should be airing at the present moment. I'll continue with this when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with me. Got a heck of a lot more to cover, folks. Then I might just tell you an unbelievable story. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I just got an email during the break from a gentleman, I guess his name is Wally, who informs me that the link to the article I'm reading is broken right now. I'm sorry about that. I'll see what I can do to get it fixed. But in the meantime, I guess we'll just have to listen closer, Wally. Let's get back to this. Newspaper articles that are not written by reporters that are scientifically crafted phrase by canny phrase by the public relations industry and placed into the columns of syndication in the guise of hard news. Jerky, clumsy news clips loaded with coarse innuendo and non sequitur, ridiculously brief, most news clips evoke only the most superficial suggestion of events which may or may not have transpired, resulting generally in the transfer of no information. The downward spiral of the level of ordinary conversations, which are commonly just exercises in stringing together random cliches from very finite stock of endlessly repeated homogenous bites. It's as though we're only allowed to have 50 thoughts, and most conversation is just linking these 50 programmed audio clips together in a different order. Listen to what people say. the way they say it, or worse yet, visit a chat room. Now let's imagine for a moment that 9/11 was a put-up job, engineered for the sole purpose of cementing the current regime into power and frightening the bovine populace into surrendering even more of what little freedom they have left. Hypothetical situation, of course, but just work with me a little here. Imagine there never were any dissident-crazed terrorists representing Osama or Saddam, but instead a highly disciplined, though slightly whacked-out, team of military fanatics programmed somehow to think they were doing something valuable for some faction or another, but carefully trained by agents from on high. A put-up job from the inside. So then imagine that all the violence and stress perpetrated on the collective American psyche since 9/11 about war, bioterrorism, and security has all been completely unnecessary. And that all the billions and billions of extra security dollars that had wasted time in airports and borders was totally unnecessary because there never were any terrorists, except those on Capitol Hill. And all the shrill media articles and stories that support the few underlying events have been unnecessary, their prime purpose being self-promotion. Now, think how much our quality of life has suffered and how it will never be the same. What if all this stress has been totally unnecessary? Many of our best people have come to precisely these conclusions. Hundreds of them, folks, if not thousands of them, we know that. And I'm talking about professional, credentialed people, not just the masses like us, but we're included. Once you get past the initial hurdle of being able to consider the unthinkable possibility that a regime could be so obsessed, now listen closely here, and this is for the benefit of my new listeners. Many of our best people have come to precisely these conclusions. Once you get past the initial hurdle of being able to consider the unthinkable possibility that a regime could be so obsessed with gaining political advantage that they would actually blow up 3,000 of our own people, well, guess what? The rest then falls into place. Is that over the top? No, not such a stretch, really, when you compare the thousands that have been sacrificed to the whims of other murderous tyrants the world over throughout all of recorded history. Exactly how is that possible? What do we really know? When it comes to a discussion of what's going on in the world, the honest individual must admit that he has almost no idea. When was the last time George Bush invited you to the green room for a private chat with Cheney and Ashcroft about the future of big oil? When did Bill Gates last invite you up to his Redmond Diggs for a wine and cheese brainstorming session about the next big thing? Or when did your neighbor who lives three houses away from you call you up and tell you about the unfulfilled plans of his father who just found out he's dying of cancer? How many life stories of the world's 6 billion people do you know anything about? This is to say nothing of fluid events which are coming in and out of existence every day between the nations of the world. What do you really know about what is going on? It seems like much more effort is spent covering up and packaging actual events that are taking place than trying to accurately report and evaluate them. These are questions of epistemology. What can we know? The answer is very little if our only source of information is the superficial everyday media. The few people who buy books don't read them. Passive absorption of pre-interpreted, already figured out data is the preferred method. Now, how did it all get started? Well, here we go. But wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's back up a minute. In their book, Trust Us, We're Experts, Stauber and Rampton pulled together some compelling data describing the science of creating public opinion in America. They trace modern public influence back to the early part of the last century, highlighting the work of a guy like Edward L. Bernays, the father of spin. From his own amazing 1928 chronicle, Propaganda, we learn how Edward L. Bernays took the ideas of his famous uncle Sigmund Freud and applied them to the emerging science of mass persuasion. The only difference was that instead of using these principles to uncover hidden themes in the human unconsciousness, the way Freudian psychology does, Bernays studied these same ideas in order to learn how to mask agendas and then create illusions that deceive and misrepresent. For marketing purposes, and I'll bet you Philip Zelikow must have studied this guy. The father of spin, Edward L. Bernays, dominated the public relations industry until the 1940s and was a significant force for another 40 years after that. During that time, Bernays took on hundreds of diverse assignments to create a public perception about some idea or product. And here are a few examples. As a neophyte with a committee on public information, one of Bernays' first assignments was to help sell the First World War to the American public with the idea to make the world safe for democracy. Where have you heard that before? We've seen this phrase used in every war, every police action, and spoiling raid we've carried out since that time, folks. A few years later, Bernays set up a stunt to popularize the notion of women smoking cigarettes. In organizing the 1929 Easter Parade in New York City, Bernays showed himself as a force to be reckoned with. He organized the Torch of Liberty Brigade, in which suffragettes marched into the parade smoking cigarettes as a mark of women's liberation. After that one event, women would be able to feel secure about destroying their own lungs in public the same way that men have always done. Bernays popularized the idea of bacon for breakfast. Bernays also set up the liaison between the tobacco industry and the American Medical Association that lasted for nearly 50 years. His ad campaign proved to all and sundry that cigarettes were beneficial to health. I mean, just look at ads in the old issues of Life, Look, Time, or Journal of the American Medical Association from the 1940s and 50s in which doctors are recommending this or that brand of cigarettes as promoting healthful digestion or whatever. During the next several decades, Bernays and his colleagues evolved the principles by which masses of people could be generally swayed through messages repeated over and over, hundreds of times per week. Once the economic power of media became apparent, other countries of the world rushed to follow our lead. But Bernays remained the gold standard. He was the source of whom the new PR leaders across the world would always defer, Joseph Goebbels. Hitler's minister of propaganda closely studied the principles of Edwin Bernays when Goebbels was developing the popular rationale he would use to convince the Germans that in order to purify their race, they had to kill 6 million of the impure. As he saw it, Bernays' job was to reframe an issue, to create a desired image that would put a particular product or concept in a desirable light. He never saw himself as a master hoodwinker, but rather as a beneficent servant of humanity, providing a valuable service. Bernays described the public as a herd that needed to be led, and this herd-like thinking makes people susceptible to leadership. Bernays never deviated from his fundamental axiom to control the masses without their knowing it. The best public relations happens when the people are unaware that they are being manipulated. What is that old saying? None are so enslaved as those who think they are free. Falls right in line with that. Stauber describes Bernays' rationale like this. Quote, the scientific manipulation of public opinion was necessary to overcome chaos and conflict in a democratic society, unquote. These early mass persuaders postured themselves as performing a moral service for humanity in general. Democracy was too good for people. They needed to be told what to think because they were incapable of rational thought by themselves. Here's a paragraph from Bernays' propaganda. Those who manipulate the unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conducts or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires that control the public mind. A tad different from Thomas Jefferson's view on the subject, Thomas Jefferson had to say, I know of no safe depository for the ultimate power of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise that control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not take it from them, but to inform their discretion. Inform their discretion. Bernays believed that not only a few possess the necessary insight into the big picture to be entrusted with this sacred task. And luckily, he saw himself as one of the elect. Now, once the possibilities of applying Freudian psychology to mass media were glimpsed, Bernays soon had more corporate clients than he could handle. Global corporations fell all over themselves, courting the new image makers. There were dozens of goods and services and ideas to be sold to a susceptible public. over the years, these players have had the money to make their images happen. And here's just a few examples. Philip Morris, Pfizer, Union Carbide, Allstate, Monsanto, Eli Lilly, tobacco industry, Saiba Geigy, lead industry, Coors, DuPont, Shell, Oil, Clorox, Standard Oil, Procter & Gamble, Boeing, Dow Chemical, General Motors, Goodyear, General Mills. Dozens of PR firms have emerged to answer the demand for spend control. Burson Marsteller, Edelman, Hill & Knowlton, Kamer Singer, Ketchum, Mongovan, Biscoe & Duchin, BSMG, Ruder Finn. The world famous within the PR industry, these are names we don't know, and for good reason. The best public relation goes unnoticed. For decades, they have created the opinions that most of us were raised with on virtually any issue which has the remotest commercial value, including pharmaceutical drugs, vaccines, medicine as a profession, alternative medicine, fluoridation, chlorine, household cleaning products, tobacco, dioxin, global warming, leaded gasoline, cancer research, pollution of the oceans, forests and lumber, images of celebrities including damage control crisis and disaster management, genetically modified foods, aspartame, food additives, processed foods, dental amalgams, and autism. Bernays learned early on that the most effective way to create credibility for a product or an image was by independent third-party endorsement. See if this rings a bell, folks. For example, if General Motors were to come out and say that global warming is a hoax thought up by some liberal tree huggers, people would suspect GM's motives, since GM's fortune is made by selling automobiles. If, however, some independent research institute with a very credible-sounding name like the Global Climate Coalition comes out with a scientific report that says global warming is really a fiction, well, then people begin to get confused and to have doubts about the original issue. So that's exactly what Bernays did. With a policy inspired by genius, he set up more institutes and foundations than Rockefeller and Carnegie combined. Quietly financed by the industries whose products were being evaluated, these independent research agencies would churn out scientific studies and press materials that could create any image their handlers wanted. Such front groups are given high-sounding names like Temperature Research Foundation, International Food Information Council, the Advancement of Sound Science Coalition, Air Hygiene Foundation, Industrial Health Federation, International Food Information Council, the Manhattan Institute, Center for Produce Quality, Tobacco Institute Research Council, the Cato Institute, the American Council on Science and Health, Global Climate Coalition, Alliance for Better Foods. How many of those have you heard of, folks? They sound pretty legitimate, don't they? Then you've got the canned news releases. As Stauber explains, these organizations and hundreds of others like them are front groups whose sole mission is to advance the image of the global corporations who fund them, like those I just listed. This is accomplished in part by an endless stream of press releases accounting breakthrough research to every radio station and newspaper in the country. Many of these canned reports read like straight news and indeed are purposely molded in the news format. This saves journalists the trouble of researching the subjects on their own, especially on topics of which they know very little. Entire sections of the release, or in the case of video news releases, the whole thing can be just lifted intact with no editing, given the byline to the reporter or newspaper or TV station, and voila, instant news, just copy and paste, written by corporate public relations firms. Does this really happen? Every single day since the 1920s, when the idea of the news release was first invented by Ivy Lee, sometimes as many as half the stories appearing in an issue of the Wall Street Journal are based solely on such public relations press releases. These types of stories are mixed right in with legitimately researched stories, and unless you have done the research yourself, you won't be able to tell the difference. So when we see new research being cited, we should always first suspect that the source is another industry-backed front group. A common tip-off is the word breakthrough. Are you starting to see now why I don't have a TV, folks? In the 1920s, spin pioneers like Ivy Lee and Edward Bernays gained more experience. They began to
formulate rules and guidelines for creating public opinion. They learned quickly that mob psychology must focus on emotion, not facts. Since the mob is incapable of rational thought, motivation must be based not on logic, but on presentation. Now, here are some of the axioms of the new science of public relations. Technology is a religion unto itself. If people are incapable of rational thought, real democracy is dangerous. Important decisions should be left to experts. And who are those experts? Are these the guys that are parroting whatever they're told to say on mainstream TV? When reframing issues, stay away from substance. Create images. Never state a clearly demonstrable lie. Yes, spin it. Cover it up. Song and dance it. Dance around the issue, just like Hillary did in the debates the other night. But don't ever spew forth a clearly demonstrable lie. I'm adding some of these. I'm going off the cuff here on a little of this, folks. Words are very carefully chosen for their emotional impact. Now, here's an example. A front group called the International Food Information Council handles the public's natural aversion to genetically modified foods. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to a break. I'll start that one over again. But hopefully the new listeners are getting educated as to why they shouldn't watch TV. The veteran listeners are maybe boning up a little on some of the things they didn't know. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got a lot more.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special. Pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2200 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
All right, we're back. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour, and I'm in the midst of an article, Why Americans Will Believe Almost Anything. Words are very carefully chosen for their emotional impact, and here's an example. A front group called the International Food Information Council handles the public's natural aversion to genetically modified foods. They use trigger words, and they're repeated all through the text. Now, in the case of genetically modified foods, the public is instinctively afraid of these experimental new creations, which have suddenly popped up on our grocery shelves and which are said to have DNA alterations. The IFIC wants to reassure the public of the safety of genetically modified foods, so it avoids words like Frankenfoods, Hitler, biotech, chemical, DNA, experiments, you know, manipulate, money, safety, scientists, radiation, roulettes, gene splicing, gene gun, or random, which, by the way, are used in the manufacture of these foods, folks. Instead, good public relations for genetically manufactured foods contains words like hybrids, natural order, beauty, choice, bounty, crossbreeding, diversity, earth, farmer, organic, and wholesome. It's all about the words, folks. It's just basic Freudian Tony Robbins word association. The fact that genetically modified foods are not hybrids that have been subjected to the slow and careful scientific methods of real crossbreeding doesn't really matter. This is pseudoscience, not science. Form is everything and substance is just passing myth. Who do you think funds the International Food Information Council? Take a wild guess. Right. Monsanto, DuPont, Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola, NutraSweet, those in a position to make fortunes off the genetically modified foods. As the science of mass control evolved, public relations firms developed further guidelines for effective copy, and here are some of the gems. They dehumanized the attacked party by labeling and name-calling. They speak in glittering generalities using emotionally positive words. When covering something up, they don't use plain English. They stall for time and they distract. Sounds like Hillary Clinton. They get endorsements from celebrities, churches, sports figures, street people, anyone who has no expertise in the subject at hand. The plain folks ruse. Us billionaires are just like you. When minimizing outrage, don't say anything memorable. When minimizing outrage, point out the benefits of what just happened. When minimizing outrage, avoid moral issues. Keep this list. Start watching for these techniques. Not hard to find. Look at today's paper or tonight's TV news. See what they're doing. These guys are good. And if you can't access it on my website, folks, you can call in and get the link from Carrie, the board op. But if it isn't accessible on my site, it will be shortly after the show is over. Because if I've done something wrong, I'll fix it. If they've done something wrong, I'll see if I can get them to correct it. Public relations firms have become very sophisticated in that preparation of news releases. They have learned how to attach the names of famous scientists to research that stuff that scientists have not even looked at. It's a common practice in this way. The editors of newspapers and TV news shows are themselves often unaware that an individual releases a total public relations fabrication, or at least they have deniability. Stauber tells the amazing story of how leaded gas came into the picture. In 1922, General Motors discovered that adding lead to gasoline gave cars more horsepower. When there was some concern about safety, General Motors paid the Bureau of Mines to do some fake testing and publish spurious research that proved that inhalation of lead was harmless. Enter Charles Kettering, founder of the world-famous Sloan Kettering Memorial Institute for Medical Research. Charles Kettering also happened to be an executive with General Motors. Oh, one of those guys that were on the board of directors with several companies, huh? Covered that yesterday. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're coming up to the top of the hour here. I'm going to continue this article at the top of the hour. I should be able to get through this by, maybe half past. Then I'm going to tell you a really amazing story, true story, and a story that affects both myself and my wife. We will see you in 2 minutes, folks. Stick with me for the second hour. Got a lot more to tell you. And I might even open the phone lines towards the end of the show. So I will be right back.